Lord, we can.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, begin reading at verse 16. The title of this today is Sanctify Your Life Unto the Lord.
Amen.
Sanctify your life unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:16. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone and silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you any man, woman, family, or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say when they see the plagues that of the land, and the sickness which the Lord hath laid upon it, and the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, Wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? And then men shall say, Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them, when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we're very familiar with this one. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just pray just for a moment. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity to be together with your children, to be in the house of God. And Lord, we know that you're here, you promised to be, and I know that you're mindful of every effort your children make, Lord, to follow after you, to serve you, and to come here in midweek service. So we're asking, Lord, that you drop your word into their hearts, speak to them, encourage them, Lord, to press on in this battle that we're in. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we will see you. Sanctify your life unto the Lord. How many believes that God must be the center of everything in our lives?
Amen.
Amen. We know that. I just got to the point where I have to wear these glasses up here, whether I like it or not. God must be the center of everything in our lives. I believe that there's not a person. A person can be fully everything that they could be in the blessings of the Lord and the things that God would have. You cannot have that and prosper in those things unless the Lord is the center of their life and the center of their attention. No person, household, no family can truly prosper unless the Lord is the center of their lives. No marriage, Right? You know, God doesn't want to institute marriage, right?
Right. Right.
It absolutely burns me up that a justice of the peace, or just of anybody can go down to the courthouse and get a license to perform marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
It really bothers me that's the case. It should be, just like Brother Branham said, you know, it's should be under the shadow of God and His words, and not some half-drunk magistrate, as Brother Branham said.
Right.
And so, marriage... definitely, raising of children. If you operate a business, God should be the center of your business.
Right. Right.
No matter what it is, no matter how great or how small. You know, it comes to mind right now, there used to be, I hadn't seen it in a while, but there used to be a truck line that ran up and down the highways. And I forget the name, but I think it was something like Covenant Trucking or something like that.
Yeah.
And that truck line gave a certain amount of their money to the gospel. That's why they, I guess, why they call it that. But a business, you need to have God as the center of your attention, and certainly a church.
Right.
A church should be, and not just a man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. That don't cut it. I mean, we love that, and we appreciate that. But where is he today, and what is he doing today?
Right.
So we know that a church definitely, and even a nation. You know, the scriptures talk about, you know, any nation that's going to forget about God is going to be cursed, right? And so we find ourselves in a nation right now that's like that. They turned their back on God a long time ago. And so to fully succeed, we must have God at the center of our life. Brother Branham tells us in a sermon that we're very familiar with, Christ is the mystery of God. He says, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. Amen.
Right.
And Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. And Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing.
Right.
Amen. We are the evidence that this Bible is right.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So our life and Christ in us makes us the revelation of the whole thing. And Brother Bram says, see what God's trying to do? God's trying to get into his people. Leading them and guiding them, and so that they can be a complete revelation of his entire word. And I believe definitely in this hour that the bride of Jesus Christ in this day, under this word, only under this word, is becoming the divine expression of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We say the bride coming of Christ. So he must be the center of our lives, and the center, he is the center of the Bible. As I go further and further, and I realize when the prophet said, if you go back and you read the Bible and you don't see Christ on every verse, every line, go back and read it again because you read it wrong.
Right.
And I see that.
Yeah.
You know, and he gave the example. So what about, you know, the wicked people? Well, he's the judge of the wicked. He's the judge of the sinner.
Yeah.
But he's the reward of the righteous. So this entire Bible, every portion of it, is part of the revealing of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So we see him on every verse and every line. So we must have God at the center of our attention, and we must have revelation. It's not just okay to be a Christian, just say I'm a Christian, but you need to have a divine fellowship with God.
Right.
We know that God speaks to his people through revelation. And I know a huge portion of the world just looks at you with a blank look when you talk about revelation. They think it's some foreign, but that is a requirement. You know, because it takes faith to please God. The scripture said that you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
If you believe that he is a rewarder of those that seek him, you're going to seek him.
Right.
You're going to manifest that you believe that, and as you seek him, then by faith that is pleases God. It means we can't serve God just from an intellectual something we understand. We have to move out into the realm where it's things that we don't understand, but yet it's a promise from him, and that's
right.
How we can please him.
Right.
So we must have revelation from him. We must seek God for revelation. The prophet said you should ask God for revelation, because you can't do anything without it. You can't do anything without revelation. And so we know that faith is a revelation, and faith and revelation go together. The prophet tells us in works is faith expressed. He said in an audience of people, where a prayer line comes through, you'll find some, and they were all good people, he said. We'll say they were all good people, There's some that try hard to believe. They try to work themselves into it. And some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace, it's given to them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Right.
It's just given to them. And so now, there's the difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation, because faith is a revelation from God.
Right.
It must be a revelation first.
Yeah.
Jesus clearly expressed when he said this, when he said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first or reveals me to him first. So you must have a revelation before you can have faith.
Right.
Right? And so when God speaks to you and drops something in your heart, then you have faith in that. And to me, faith and revelation and faith are like husband and wife.
Right.
God reveals to you his thoughts, his plan, his purpose, and he that's him speaking to you his will, and then you follow that by faith, and faith is what brings it to pass.
That's
right. So you remember the scriptures where he said, I am the vine, but you are the branches.
Right.
Well, the branches is where the fruit is.
Right.
You can't bear fruit unless you're connected to the vine.
Right.
But the vine can't bear fruit unless he's got some branches.
Right.
And God can do whatever he wants, right? He can do that, but he created things the way he did, and then he submits himself to his own creation where he says, I can't bear fruit without my people.
Right.
Right? And so he a revelation comes along, and faith brings to pass what God had, his will, and what his word is, when we believe it. And so you don't have to understand.
Right.
You do not have to understand, you know, that's kind of fundamental, but a fundamental thing for Christians, but it's kind of a lifelong thing to really get that under your belt, to understand that you don't have to understand what it is that God's, you know, how it's going to work. It's just that when he drops a revelation in your heart, you know that it's done. It's finished.
Right.
And the minute you start trying to wrap your head around it, that's when you start short-circuiting what God is trying to do in your life.
Yeah.
And so it's so easy to wrap our own thoughts around there, just like we read there in the scripture, when it begins to say in his own mind, in his own heart, and which he said would be adding drunkenness to thirst. And so you don't have to understand everything about how God wants to do things. I remember the scripture the brother was saying over the weekend about the four things that Solomon said he didn't understand, and one of them was the way of a man with a maid. And so you understand, when a man and a woman are married together, they have a secret relationship there. And it's not for the eyes of someone else. It's not for other people to understand. And everybody just looks at us and says, I don't know. But they work together. I mean, she follows him, he leads, they do all, and their life is a success. It works. It's only for them to know, because they're the ones wrapped up in there. And so I'll say they're the ones wrapped up in that secret place, like the third pool tent vision, right? And so it's not for anyone else to understand. And even sometimes you don't understand your love for your spouse. You just love them,
right?
Love covers a multitude of sins, the scripture says.
Yeah, right.
If you've got real love for your spouse or for your spouse-to-be, if you really love them, you'll forgive.
Yeah.
Right? You'll help them.
Right.
You'll believe them. You'll give them a second chance. I mean, knows God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances.
Right.
I always think of that scripture where he said, well, how many times shall my brother sin against me in a day and me forgive him? Seven? I know Jesus said, no, seven times 70.
Yeah.
Not seven times seven, which would be 49.
Right.
But seven times 70 would be 490 times in a day.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you a question. Be honest about it. If somebody, especially a brother or sister, you realize how hard it would be for someone to offend you that many times in a day? That would have to be their sole purpose for the whole day. You know, you're ugly. You smell bad. You have ugly kids. You know. You know. I mean, what all could you do?
Right.
But yet the scriptures is saying, look, you have to forgive them seven times 70.
Right.
And I would say that there's something wrong there if that's happening that many times to begin with. But when I hear that, what I'm hearing the Lord say is that it's infinite.
Right.
It's infinite the number of times you forgive. And so many times when we're in the smoke of our anger about something, we forget the fact that the Lord said that you must forgive, because if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you.
Right.
I pray that God brings that up to all of us, and we remember that always. You know, the best thing is to walk in love and forgiveness and humility and meekness and kindness and do everything we can to help one another.
Right. Amen.
That's the best thing that we can do. So we don't have to understand the whole program. We just know that when God speaks, it means something to us. We follow that. We can right. sink our teeth into that, as it were.
Right.
And so, because when God gives you a revelation, you may not know which way to turn, but when God gives you a revelation, He gives you direction.
That's right.
Now you've got something you can lay hold on and do something. And the scriptures, as we read there, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. It is substance, and it is faith, according to scriptures.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes we get backwards where when we see something physical, well, now we're going to believe. Or we see, oh, I feel better now because the Lord, you know, somebody prayed, but now I feel better, so now I'm going to believe I'm healed.
Yeah. Right.
But it's the other way around.
Right.
Faith is the substance, not the thing that you're praying for or looking for. Faith is the substance. And it's more real than the thing you're praying for.
Right.
Because that's the substance. And it's the evidence.
Yep.
Right? And so when you have faith, it's just as sure as anything that the rest of it's coming, because it is substance and it is evidence. And so it gives you something to hang on to. That's why I keep saying here lately, it's just on my mind a lot, is just we've got to give God something He can work with.
Right.
If you want to be blessed, line yourself up with His word so you're living in such a way that He can do something about it.
Because
you can't expect God to bless you if you're walking contrary.
Right.
If you're doing it, if you know you're walking contrary to His word, you're, in your own heart, you're already condemned.
Yeah.
Right? And God is greater than our heart.
Right.
So we want to position ourselves in such a way, if you want your finances blessed, you know what the Bible says to your finances. If you want your marriage blessed, you know what the Bible says about your marriage.
Right.
If you want any relationship, so we must position ourselves in a position where God can do something about it, so He can honor His own word. Because
right.
He keeps His word, as we're seeing in these scriptures tonight. He keeps His word.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what the situation is, when revelation strikes your heart, it will lead you to victory.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I've seen it come over the face, someone going through a trial, something happened, a tragedy or something going on, and I've seen their countenance absolutely change, and instantly their testimony is different.
Yeah.
And their testimony is just as full of faith, it's done. And I've seen it.
Right.
And
yeah.
Brother, sister, in just a moment, it's done.
Yeah.
Right.
I have seen that many times, more than once.
Yeah.
And so that's the way it works. So we want to seek God for revelation. We have to have Him as the center of our life,
right.
Consecrate ourselves to Him, position ourselves according to His word so that He can move and look for Him to speak. And when He does, then that gives you something to hang on to.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, I think about the deep calling to the deep.
Yeah.
When he drops something in your heart, now you've got something that's calling out, and there's already something to respond to.
Right.
We always want to remember that the prophet said, you cannot have a desire for it unless it's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. That's the whole concept of that. Cannot have a desire to be healed unless healing was there.
That's right.
I can use the example. There's no way that I can crave or want peanut butter
mm-hmm.
unless there's peanut butter that exists.
Right.
And thank God it does.
Yeah.
Thank God peanut butter does exist. I think that you probably could fill a semi-truck, probably. My wife's shaking her head yes, of the peanut butter I've had in my whole lifetime. At least the bed of a pickup truck, for sure.
Yeah.
Or several pickup trucks. Thank God for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, a deep calling to a deep. You know, this message that has come, I mentioned Sunday, you know, that This prophet, when God brought us the word. You realize that people through all the ages, denominations, and all the bondage that Satan put up on all the churches through all the ages, and they needed something to come and set them free.
Yeah, right.
And God sent a message that does exactly that.
Right.
Amen. Does exactly that, and it creates in us a desire. You know the scriptures. We know that God gives us the desire of the heart. We think about that, and I'm the only one that I think that I know of that, and I'm not saying anybody else hasn't. I'm just saying for me, that there are two ways you could look at that. You know, you say, well, God looks in your heart and sees what the desire is, and He'll give that to you. But how about He gives you that desire in the first place?
Right.
He puts that in there and then turns around and supplies it. See, and that's what is when God speaks and He drops something in there, He gives you a desire, and that desire obviously would if it comes from Him, agrees with His word. And so you believe His word, you have something you hang on to, and faith brings it to pass.
Yeah.
A deep calling to thee. And so we, as I could not stress it near enough, is that we need to seek and pray and ask God for revelation.
Right.
Any minister will tell you that when you know that you've got a service coming up, that you and in yourself, you're scared because you got a blank sheet.
Right.
And you can back and forth, and you can pray, and you can just toil and stress and search and everything in the world, and it's just until the Lord speaks.
That's right.
Right.
But then once, boom, it's now you go and you've got the blessings of God, and you know He's spoken. It changes the whole situation when you hear from God.
That's right.
And that's the whole thing. We have to consecrate ourselves to Him so that He can do that.
Right.
Right? And I'll tell you this, as individuals, we're growing. We're not first graders no more. Second, as we grow, the requirements are more. The dedication is more. The level of maturity is more. And the ability for things to come at you and you deal with it properly becomes greater and greater.
Yep.
And so this church, if I understand correctly, this bride, when this is done, it's rapture, and that's it for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So this is graduation group. This is the alumni that's to graduate right now. And so they have to be able to not do what Eve did.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. The prophet says she's ordained not to fall like Eve did.
Yeah.
Amen. So we want to seek God for revelation. Position ourselves. It's not just saying, Lord, give to me, but live daily in such a way that He can bless it. And He'll be there. He will. He's more faithful than we are.
Yeah.
And seek God for revelations.
Amen.
And as we do, look to Him and not to our own understanding. Don't look to our own understanding. Don't look to culture. Don't look to what everybody else is doing. Don't look to what the masses think or what they say or whatever.
Right.
Don't look to our own intellect.
Right.
One of the best things that I think that a Christian can do is to become honest with themselves to say, every time we try to put our effort into it, it turns out to be a disaster.
That's right.
Right.
And at some point, you know, if you touch the stove and it burns you, you touch it again, it burns you again. At some point, you figure out you don't need to touch the stove anymore.
Right.
Right.
And so we realize, you know, the last time I didn't wait on God, it was a flop. It cost me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so sooner or later, that's why the prophet said she knows what to do with the word. She has thus saith the Lord. Or she, what does she do? She keeps quiet.
Right.
That'd be a minister who's like, I don't want to say a thing until I have something from the Lord.
Right.
Right.
And so We don't want to be trying to figure it out ourselves. You know, we're going to a place where supernatural rules.
Yeah.
The supernatural realm. You know, for us, we think, you know, God creating everything in it, you know, is supernatural. But let me say, in that realm, with Him, it's natural. It's natural for Him to speak things into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
But that's where we're going.
Yeah.
All right? You know that if the son of a man is another man, right? Horse begets a horse, cow a cow, a god creates his
son.
His gods,
right?
right? Mm-hmm. Little g. You, how do you know that someday that little g doesn't become big when God says, now you go create your world. Uh-huh. You go be Messiah. You go be whatever. God is growing sons of God, sons and daughters of God. So the realm that we're going to is the realm where all things are possible. The realm we're going to is where there is no evil. There is no negative. There is no pain. There is no sorrow. Right? We all know that. We all believe that. But did you know the scripture says that while we're here in this life as Christians with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we have a taste of the world to come? That we get to experience things here that's part of that world. Right? We get to experience things right here that's part of that. So the peace and the joy that's there, we get to experience it here.
Right.
Right? And you can experience here however much you can surrender to the Lord as you go through battles and things. That's how much you can have. The healing and won't say healing there because there won't be something sick there, but it'll be in divine health.
Yes.
But all the things in that realm that's there, that's natural in that realm that we call supernatural, we have access to those things now, a lot of it. Right?
Right.
A taste of the world to come. And so all I can say is that as Christians, go after it. Go after that. If you know that God has said you can tap into those things, then tap into them. Tap into them often. Tap into them every day. Tap into them for yourself, for your wife, for your children, for your church, for your co-worker.
Right.
Tap into them. Right. Let the supernatural God who wants to come and manifest them, let him come and manifest through you like that.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And so we want to go after those things and let all of these things we're talking about, apply them to every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
Don't hold back in any area. God wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless you. If you got a hobby, as long as that hobby's not eating up time that should be devoted to the Lord, he'll bless your hobby. He'll bless your fishing trip.
Yeah.
Amen, brothers.
Yeah.
He'll bless your fishing trip. Between now and when we go to Colorado, let's make sure we're doing the things we should. Because
right?
I'd hate to go all the way out there and not catch anything. That would be terrible. Amen. But every aspect of life,
yeah,
give it to him.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, we got a letter here when we're back that said the city of Fort Smith was going to come through with another water line, a bigger one. Depends on which side of the line they put that on. It might take part of my house. Give it to the Lord.
Amen.
Just give it to him.
Right.
Yeah. Neighbor had already received papers from an attorney to sign. We thought, well, ours is going to come any time. That's been 2 or 3 months now, at least 2 months. We still ain't got nothing. I caught a little bit from somewhere that maybe they had decided they weren't going to do it, or something else had happened. Believe God for whatever.
Yeah.
So what if they come through? God will provide. This family right here can tell you. He knows how to provide you another house.
Right.
Right?
Right?
See? God is mindful of everything.
Right.
Right.
Right? Even the desires of a child.
Right.
So if you're a child, you're listening to this, tell the Lord about it.
Yep.
Right.
Tell him what you want.
Right.
He knows. He knows how to meet you on your level.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, just let him have every aspect of your life.
Right.
Because he wants to do that. And so you might say, well, Brother Tony, I don't think that necessarily the desires that I have are necessarily right. I'm not, but yet it's something I want, and I probably shouldn't want. Then ask God to purify your desires.
Yeah. Right.
Ask God to purify your thoughts. Did you know this? Those who are defiled, everything about them is defiled?
Right.
Their whole mind and everything is defiled? So ask God to clean you up. Ask God, say, you know, Lord, I know I probably shouldn't feel this way. Would you take this from me?
Yeah, right.
Right. Make my desires be right.
Yeah.
Make my desires to line up to your word so that I can be a representation. I don't think anybody wants to defy God, not only among us. I don't think anybody, we want to represent him well. We want him to be able to come and live through us. So ask him if you have trouble. And the whole point is that it's time for us to get past these things that have held us up for so long and come on out on top.
Right.
Because I really feel like that we're getting close. Amen. Of course, don't know, but it sure feels that way. Right. Amen. So ask him to purify your desires. And so then, so that, you know, like I said a while ago, if your heart condemns you, well, then you're already short-circuited. But if you live in such a way that your heart does not condemn you, and you might have something you don't not aware of, but God can show you if there is, then you can ask with faith and confidence.
Right.
Right? Yeah. If you have the right motive, I'm bringing it to the message, and the right motive and the right objective. Because mm-hmm. right? You can have the right thing you want to do, but want to do it for the wrong purpose.
Right.
If you have the right motive and the right objective, and the way to have the right motive and right objective is spend time with God. Get in his word. Let his word, because that's, like I said the other day, you spend time with him, you're going to start thinking like him. You're going to start talking like him. You're going to start acting like him.
Yeah.
Right? So get in his presence. He'll change you. He'll give you a guide, a guidance. You'll know where to go. Amen.
Right.
He'll fix all things up. So if you need a job, ask the Lord.
Yeah.
Put it before him. You need a new vehicle, ask the Lord. Amen. You have some sort of decision you need to make, a purchase you need to make, and you want to purchase the right refrigerator, one that will last you longer, or, you know, you better ask God for that nowadays, because these appliances they have nowadays aren't like they used to be.
That's right.
Why, when I was first refrigerator, we bought from Sears, and we had, 20-something years before we had any trouble with it? Nowadays, you're 5 years down the road, you're looking at something.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. If you want to buy an appliance, if you're trying to find a mate, like we heard over the weekend, give it to the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
He knows. I really enjoyed that. God has one for you.
Right.
Amen. God has one for you. Give it all to him, no matter how big or small it is. Because, you know, the scripture tells us to be faithful over the little things. You think he's not? He's faithful over little things. He's faithful over great things. He asked us to do the same thing. Be faithful over the little things. Ask him for guidance on the little things.
Amen.
And then maybe when it comes to bigger things, you'll have his blessings on that too.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Amen.
So even if you don't feel, even if you feel weak, even if you don't want to, you know, how many of those you can get in a situation where you know what you should do and you just don't want to do it. It's not that you want to defy God. You just don't want sometimes to do what you need to do.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
They ask the Lord. Say, Lord, give me the want to.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know, scripture tells us that he knows that we are but dust.
Right.
He knows the whole thing. Yep. So I was telling a brother over the weekend, and you know that the universe is so big, it's hard to fathom. And God... As I had done a study on it several years ago, and I shared it with the church, you know, not to reiterate that, but if you took the entire known universe at the time that they were saying, because it's expanding, and you could shrink it down, and everything in it was to be shrinking at the same rate, to where the earth became the size of an atom, which an atom, in the example, was take 18 million of them to make an inch.
Yeah.
That if the earth was that small, the known space would still be the size of Arkansas. 300 miles across.
Uh-huh.
And all those galaxies. And God hung them all there so that they could be a Bible. Because they could tell the story of him coming as from a virgin, coming with Leo the Lion, cancer, age. He hung all that there for signs and for seasons and all that. And it just for us.
Yes. Right.
Well, I think he can handle our situations, what we have, our needs. Man, I really believe he can. And so, just ask him. Because, as we've seen in the scriptures, I just want to go back for a moment and we'll finish on that. In the scriptures here, where God said, you've seen what, we didn't read it, if you go a little bit earlier in the chapter, he says, you've seen what we did to Egypt. You've seen how that Egypt was destroyed, and then we read where God said, you saw my power. And you passed through and you saw these nations that have idols. You have these nations who are serving other gods and not serving me. And you see their destruction. And you see the consequences. And God said, I brought you through all that so you could see that. Lest you decide that you want to go after those gods. Because you're going to know, I want you to know the consequences if you don't serve the Lord. It's what you saw. Right? That's what he's trying to tell us. And we have to know that the God is saying the same thing to us today, because we know those who have left the word. And we see what happened.
Right?
We have seen what happened to those who have turned their back on this message. Okay? And so, lest we would do the same thing. Lest we would decide that, I'll just do it in my own thinking, which he said would add drunkenness to thirst. Lest that would happen. But I want to just say this, that most of us, or a lot of us here, I think, have walked this way for many years. Think about the people who were sturdy. And they came to church. They didn't lay out half the time. They came and they were faithful. Think about it. Where are they at today? They're still sturdy. They're still faithful.
Right.
And if they're not here, they've gone on. They went on to be with the Lord in peace.
Right.
But think about the ones who went away from it. You know, the prophet told the church there in Jeffersonville, he said the same thing. He said, think about it. Think about the ones that got away, how they went at the end of their days.
Yeah.
He said, now think about the ones that stayed with it, how they went.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
And so I hear the same warning to us, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Don't look at all those other things and be tempted by all the things of the world, and because that's what's out there. Amorites and Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites and all that stuff. All those spirits are there. That's what we contend with. Yeah. Don't be looking at that, because you see already the reward that they have for the lives. Their lives messed up, and their genealogies messed up and mixed and everything else. And you know what I'm talking about. Just filthy lives. That's the reward. That's now, even now, but and even worse to come.
Yes.
Don't be looking at those things. We've seen it with our own eyes what happens to people who walk away from this word.
Yeah.
Right.
We have.
Right. It's true.
Listen, I just may be honest with you.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people compromising, kind of hit and miss. Yeah, I can come to church, maybe not. Just whatever I want to do. I understand if you live a long ways. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lives that are not committed to the Lord, not consecrated to the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And there are consequences to not being consecrated to the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. There is a reward to those who stay with it, and there's a reward to those who do not. We have to position ourselves in a place where God can bless us.
Amen.
Amen. Bless us with his word. We don't want the consequences of not having God in the center of our lives.
Right.
Amen. He wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed.
Right. Yeah.
Brother Ram talked about a piece of pipe, and I forget how far he said it would go up, and then the amount of water pressure would be if you had all that water in there trying to press you out. And I heard a testimony of somebody that figured that up, and it was unbelievable how much force that would be.
Yeah.
That God wanted to, you know, I just got there redoing some plumbing in my house, doing some remodeling, and you got to have those pipes sealed up or water's going to come out.
Right.
And that's just with a little bit of pressure. What do you think it would be with that? And that's how much God wants to bless us. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let the Lord live in you.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Let's bow our hearts and we'll sing a song. Let you be dismissed. Lord Jesus, Lord, you have been here among us tonight because it's in your word we share. Lord, that you speak to us. We are a blessed people.
Lord, to be able to know the things that we know, to experience the things we experience, that there are millions and billions of people who've been on this earth and have never heard the things that we have been able to hear many times. And Lord, we know that makes us a blessed people, but also a responsible people. So Lord, we just ask God that you just help us as we reciprocate in the things that we've heard tonight, reciprocate in your word. Lord, that we would grow in maturity and you'd find us to be a people that you'd be pleased in. Lord, that we would be walking in faith according to this word. And this message is now, it is a great message to bring faith. And I pray, Lord, that your children walk in that. Lord, that you can manifest yourself in every portion of your word, in every way that you want to before this bride is raptured out of here. We love you, Lord. Pray that you bless each one. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ.